Goldman Sachs says it's getting a bad rap.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Bill Radke. Goldman Sachs today lays out for shareholders what happened last year. 2009 was a tumultuous year for Goldman, a year of $13 billion profits for shareholders. And the company's annual shareholder letter just released is the longest one the firm has ever written. Marketplace's Amy Scott has taken a look and joins us now live. Hi, Amy.
Hi there.
What are some of the highlights?
Well, along with that $13 billion profit, Goldman paid back the money it got from the bank bailout. And the letter basically walks shareholders through 2009, which was a pretty tumultuous year for the firm. Of course, Goldman got a lot of bad publicity for benefiting from the government's bailout of AIG and allegedly profiting from the collapse in the housing market at the expense of its clients. So this letter tries to counter some of those negative perceptions.
And what does Goldman say about that?
Well, it talks a lot about things like its efforts to promote small business and support charities. It talks about how the firm puts clients first. The Wall Street Journal counted, and Goldman used the word client or clients 56 times compared to just 17 last year. Mm-hmm. The letter also devotes more than a page to the AIG story and says that the firm didn't keep a lot of the money it received and that Goldman would have been fine even if AIG had failed.
And how have Goldman shareholders fared through all of this stuff?
Well, the stock doubled last year, so in some ways it seems like this letter is really targeted more at customers and even the public. Goldman's annual meeting is May 7th, and this letter is part of a larger PR effort.
Marketplace's Amy Scott. Amy, thank you.
You're welcome.
And now let's see how stocks are doing. Yeah, Japan's central bank today said it's keeping interest rates at practically nothing, and markets tend to like that. Also, the World Bank said the developing economies of East Asia are going to grow even faster this year than previously thought. So Asian stocks were mostly higher, but European shares are slightly lower this morning. And on Wall Street, though the broader market nudged up a bit, the Dow lost 3 points and closed at 10,969. Now, every Scrabble player knows the rules. No proper nouns allowed. But there's a new version of Scrabble headed to stores in the UK, and Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith says people, places, brands, companies, it's all fair game.
TiVo, Kanye, Pepsi will all be legal in the new edition of Scrabble. Toy industry analyst Sean McGowan says this will attract younger players and more M-O-N-E-Y.
They may not have the SAT word vocabulary the older player might have, but this generation of kids under 25, extremely plugged into pop culture, it gives them something against an older player.
But some old-school Scrabblers are skeptical.
Horrified!
Industry consultant and card-carrying Scrabble player Richard Gottlieb says the changes dumb the game down, which Scrabble doesn't need to do.
We had a ton of new young people get into Scrabble due to Scrabulous.
That would be the Scrabble-style game that took Facebook by storm. But industry analyst John McGowan points out the new Scrabble could generate new products. For instance, can you spell Jay-Z without a hyphen?
Then they're going to sell the official Scrabble dictionary of proper names, and the time-honored tradition of creating a problem and then selling the solution.
The recession has given board games a bump. Sales were up 4% last year. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by PBS, this week presenting the story of one man's journey to awakening, The Buddha, premiering tonight at 8, 7 Central, only on PBS. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Citrix, offering Go to My PC, providing remote access to a Mac or a PC from anywhere. More at gotomypc.com/market.
In Massachusetts, six major health insurers want to raise premiums by as much as a third, and the State Insurance Commission has said no. So this week, they're all headed to court. Now, Massachusetts has already implemented its own health care overhaul, which raises the question, are we going to see more of these lawsuits once the national health care changes take effect? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look.
The insurers are suing because they say Massachusetts is requiring them to sell their policies at a loss. The state says skyrocketing premiums are crippling small businesses. Austin Frecht is a health economist at Boston University. He says the rate ruckus could go national when the healthcare overhaul is fully phased in.
Yeah, I think it'll be lawsuits and threats and fights.
The Massachusetts insurers are arguing that penalties for not buying insurance are too low. Healthy people would rather pay a small fine than pony up for a policy. That leaves insurers who must cover everyone with too many sick people. And insurers say they must raise rates to cover them. Amy Lischko teaches public health at Tufts University and helped implement the Massachusetts healthcare overhaul.
Nationally, there's dramatic changes that are going to cause all sorts of shifts that insurers are just not going to be able to predict accurately. And so they're going to probably increase their rates just because of the unknown.
Premium hikes could slow down under health care reform because it requires that 80 to 85 cents of every premium dollar go toward patient care. But Lischko says the best way to avoid high premiums and lawsuits is to cut the cost of care. Massachusetts didn't do that.
And I think the national plan went the same route. Let's cover everyone first, and then we'll look at how we can constrain healthcare costs. Now, whether you can afford to do that on a national basis is another question.
A question that may be answered in the courtroom. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, if you were going to bother counterfeiting money, would you make $1 bills? A bar owner in Juneau, Alaska, says somebody left 13 fake ones in his employee's tip jar. They were probably made on a home printer. Some of them were blank on the back. The owner laughed it off, said the economy must be really bad to set your sights that low, and reimbursed his workers 13 real dollars. That's a nice boss. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I hope you can join us online. You know, we've got a series there called The Whiteboard, where our senior editor, Patty Hirsch, explains concepts in the economy and business and finance. Does it with some nice visuals, too. The whiteboard is at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.